Today I'd like to have you turn with me to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 21 in Ephesians chapter 5, and I think it goes right along with what I was just saying. It goes right along with the message that Kathy sang for us about praying on, and this passage is one in which I've entitled it Filled with the Spirit. We need to live in that status or that state. We need to be filled with the Spirit, because when we're not, that's when Satan gets into our lives and into our minds and into our hearts, and we begin either falling away from the Lord or doing things that we would never have ever considered that we would even think of doing. But he is so subtle. He is so devious. And we need to be aware of the battle that we are engaged in. So I'd like to have you read with me here in just a few minutes from Ephesians chapter 5. You know, Ephesus is the city in which this letter to the Ephesian church is based. Ephesus was a very pagan city. It was a large city near the seacoast, and in fact, it was so pagan that they had this great big temple for the goddess Diana, and it depends on what language you're using. It could be the goddess Diana, it could be the goddess Artemis, you know, it just depends on which language, Greek or Latin, in which you're referring. But this is the town that had this large temple to the goddess Diana. This is that temple that was almost a football field and a half long. And it was almost a football field wide. It was supported by a great number, 127 pillars. Each of these pillars were 60 feet tall. This was a mammoth structure and dedicated to a pagan goddess. She was also known as the Virgin Huntress, or the Nurser of the Gods. And because she was called the Nurser of the Gods, her image, her idol, was one of many-breasted idol. And that was a part of this pagan worship of the goddess Diana, the Virgin Huntress. They were worshiping this idol. They were following all kinds of fleshly and carnal desires, as they would say, worship. Today in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 and following, we will see how we can live wisely and be filled with God's presence, His Spirit. Read with me then from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Precious God and Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for it because it teaches us of you. You have revealed yourself to us in this which we call the Bible. Father, inspired by you, by your Holy Spirit, these holy men wrote down what you told them to write. Help us, Father, to understand that there is a message here for us today, that we need to be careful about how we live as well, that we might be wise, spiritually wise, in the things that we allow our eyes to see, the things that we allow our ears to hear, and the things that we allow our bodies to do and our tongues to say. Father, we pray that you would guide us as we approach your word this morning. Speak to us, Father, through your Holy Spirit. Convict us of changes that we need to make in our lives, that we might live for you and bring glory and honor to your name and be filled with your heavenly presence, your holy presence in each of our lives. We pray in Jesus our Lord. Amen. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, first of all, be careful. Be careful how you're living. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. We need to make the most of every opportunity, is the first thing that we see in verse 16. That's the first thing that he tells us, how to be wise and not unwise. He says, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Making the most of every opportunity. We live in a fast-paced world, don't we? Have you noticed the changes that we've seen even in the last 10 years? I mean, I can remember 20 or 30 years ago when there weren't any cell phones, you know, when there was no internet. And now it seems like not only do we have access to the internet and we have our cell phones, but now almost all of our kids have access to some tablet or some electronic device that is connected, so to speak. And we need to be aware, folks, that we live in a very fast-paced society. Just consider all the changes that we've seen just in the last few years in our lives alone. Not to consider the lives of our parents and grandparents, the changes that they have seen. You know, most all of us were growing up when to make a long-distance call was a big thing. I mean, we had a telephone in the house, and to make a long-distance call, that was a major thing to do. Or to receive one. Wow, somebody's calling us long distance, and we might talk with grandpa and grandma or someone. And it was short because it was expensive. Those days have changed. Most people today don't even have what is called now a landline in their home. Most have given it up. Why? Because it's cheaper to go with the cell phones, and you have the mobility of it. All of those things are happening. The internet, web pages with tons and tons of information. Anytime I'm looking for something, and I don't have a manual for a tractor, what do? You go onto the internet and you write in the name of the tractor, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 up pops all of this list of your search, and you can begin to find manuals for different items, might be appliances at home or anything like that. There's a lot of good stuff there. But there are a lot of dangers as well. Most of you know that I work with a missions agency known as Team Expansion. One of the things that I do as a supervisor is helping to protect our missionaries that are on the field. Because Satan's going to try and tempt them just like he's going to tempt any of the rest of us. And sometimes because you're far away from home, you know, nobody's around there, none of our peers are there, and it's easy for a person to be deceived by Satan to say, no one will ever know. And people begin to look at things they shouldn't be looking at. One of the things that we have done through our mission is to ask every missionary to put on their computer a check system that says XXX.com. It's a system by which, as an adult, you willingly sign up, and it's not that you're getting XXX information. No, this is to protect you from it. How does it protect you? By you signing up, you give the name and email address of one of your peers, so that if you go to a website that you shouldn't be looking at, he's going to get an email or she's going to get an email, and you're going to dialogue and say, what was this? What are you doing? And it's another check system. Do you see what I'm getting at? We live in a very fast-paced society. Things have changed a lot. They're not the way they were when we were kids growing up, where everybody seemed to go outside and play sports. I remember growing up as a kid, and we, almost every summer afternoon, was outside with a bat and the ball and playing baseball, our family together, or maybe some neighbor kids coming over as well. You don't see that happening very much anymore. We need to be cautious and understand that life has changed a lot. We need to walk wisely in our lives in Christ. Avoid the pitfalls of life's temptations and use our time well. Paul said literally, he said in making the most of every opportunity, literally he's saying buy up the time. It's like saying don't squander it. Don't waste it. What time you have, once it is used, it's gone. It's like every day of your life. When that day is gone, you can't recuperate it. That day's gone. That day will never come back again. We need to use our time wisely. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Make use of every opportunity, since we are servants of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to do good, to help others, to learn to be more like Jesus, to take care of the weak, to visit the widows or the elderly, to take care of the poor. I was reminded just this last week when it got so terribly cold. Shelley Gilpin has a ministry called Home. It's a homeless ministry reaching out to the homeless. One of the things they were doing last week when it was the severe cold, wind chill factors at minus 25, she and several other ministries in Lansing were all out that night trying to make sure that every person who was out and did not have a home would have some place where they could get in out of the cold and not freeze to death. And they found one person unresponsive and had to call an ambulance and stay there with them until the ambulance came and took care of them. But folks, we need to make the most of every opportunity. Not just think about it, we need to do something about it. Make the most of every opportunity that God gives us. And why again? Because the days are evil. Are you making the most of the time God is giving you for His honor and for His glory? Secondly, in verses 17 and 18, we're told we need to understand what the Lord's will is for us. And I think, as I would look at this and read this, I think he's trying to say, simply, be like Jesus. Follow your leader. Let's look at those verses again. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Each and every one of us who are followers of Jesus have said no to Satan. You know, that's what that repentance thing is all about. It's turning our back on the way we were going and saying, I'm not going to go that way anymore. I'm turning around and I'm going back towards God. And it's saying, here I am, Lord. I want to live for you. And so what's God telling us? He's telling us, be filled with the Spirit. You remember the scriptures teach us that when a person repents and is baptized into Christ, according to Acts 2:38, we receive some promises there. It says your sins will be forgiven and you will receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. That gift God promises, so that God is saying, I'm going to send me into your life. My Holy Spirit's going to come and reside within you. Now, we can squash him. We can extinguish the Spirit, as it says in other passages. But God's saying, don't extinguish the Spirit. Let him flourish in your life. And we need to understand then what the Lord's will is for us. We need to be filled with his Spirit. Now, he's promised that gift to come in and live in us. But we have much control over it. We are even told how we can do that. How we can be filled with the Spirit. Look at verses 19 through 21 with me. There it says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, it's a very interesting thing to me to look at these and to see that as we're told how we can be like Jesus and how we can be filled with his Spirit, they're all given in what are called participles. They're the ing words, you know. Bev, maybe you can correct me here. That's what I always call them. The simple way of looking at them is the ing words, you know. The things that we are to be doing. And what does it say that we are to do? It says in our English version, it says speak to one another as if it's a command. But it's literally a participle, speaking to one another. So we're not commanded to do it. It's actually assuming that we're busy doing it. Speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Do you like music? Does music move you? It does me. And I mean, secular music can move me. And sometimes it's not always the good things that it brings to me. I mean, there's the rhythm and music, that part of it, but sometimes the message that is there is not anything that I should be singing or thinking about. But music does touch us, and it can touch us deeply. That's why God says, how is it that you can be filled with my Spirit? Speaking to one another. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. How often is it that you're reminded of something that God has said because you remember a psalm? Or you remember a hymn? Or you remember a particular praise chorus? Or a phrase from it? And it reinforces in you the right thinking, the right attitude, and the right action. The second thing it says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The second thing is singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is an interesting one. The singing we understand, right? Using the voice and singing. And it says making melody. You know what word that one happens to be? It's psalming. It's like saying, it's plucking an instrument. It's like saying, you need to become the musical instrument. Singing and you're making a joyous sound in your heart, in your life, in your response to God. Singing and psalming. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Marilyn and I love the modern Christian music that is available. We listen to it on the radio almost all the time that we're driving. And you know, it has a major effect in our attitude towards life in general, in our attitude towards one another, in our attitude towards the rest of our family, in our attitude about life in general. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I love what Christian radio has been doing for the last couple of years now. They're giving a 30-day challenge. Have you heard that on Christian radio? Telling everyone, why don't you take a 30-day challenge? Don't listen to any other kind of music, only Christian music, Christian radio, and see what impact it has on your life. And I'm all for it, folks. I challenge you to try that. Listen to nothing but edifying Christian music for 30 days and see what your attitude is like. See what you're thinking about and see what it's drawing you toward in action in living for the Lord. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then the third thing that it tells us in verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a tough one. Always giving thanks for everything. There ever been some things happen in your life that you don't want to thank God for? They're tough for you at the time? Or maybe you went through a period of time where, man, it was the doldrums. It was drudgery. It wasn't fun. It wasn't joyous. It wasn't happy. But God was calling us to be faithful to Him. God was trying to get us to continue to walk behind Jesus. Follow Jesus. No matter what happens in life. Through the ups and the downs. And know that God is going to lead us out to victory on the other side. Giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are times it's hard to give God thanks for something horrible that happens to a loved one. Something horrible that happens to you. But down the road, in my life, I'll tell you this, down the road, after those horrible things have happened, eventually I can come to an attitude of thankfulness to God in how He worked through that horrible thing, after that horrible thing, to bring out something good at the end. And that's what Romans tells us, doesn't it? That God works all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. It's not that everything that happens is good, but God will work all those things out for good if we love Him and we're called according to His purpose. Now there's actually one more participle. In the English Bible, it doesn't look this way. You notice you get down through verse 20, and what does it do with verse 21? A separate paragraph, right? Starts a new paragraph. Believe it or not, it's a continuation of the previous sentence. It's another participle. It's another ing word. It should be simply submitting to one another out of reverence or fear for Christ. It's a continuation of the same actions. We need to be singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. We need to be giving thanks always to God in everything through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we need to be submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ in our lives. Are you thankful that you have a God who speaks into your life and says, no matter what you face, I will bring you through it. And no matter what your brother or sister is facing, no matter when they're difficult or whether you're difficult or they're difficult, God will help us to learn to submit to one another out of fear for Christ. We can work together. Submitting to each other keeps us from being a top-down driven church. Yes, you have elders here at the Ferris Church, Perry, Gerald, George, and myself, but we're not the bosses. There's a difference between being a boss who tells everyone what to do no matter whether they want to do it or not, and someone who is looking out for your best interest in Christ. And that's what the elders are for, to help you live for your Lord Jesus. So we're not a top-down driven church. There should never be a Jonestown. Do you guys remember what Jonestown was? Some of the younger ones might not. Jonestown is where the leader of that cult finally decided, okay, the government's going to come in, so, all right, everybody take it and drink this. We're all going to commit suicide together, and they did. That is wrong kind of leadership. A false prophet is right. And so we need to learn to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, and where we can learn to be submissive not only to Christ but to one another in the body, which is his church. Folks, are you making the most of every opportunity? That's a hard one for me to answer. I have some leisure time. I'm not always using it for the most, making the most of every opportunity. And sometimes an opportunity presents itself and I let it slide by. You ever have that happen in your lives too? Folks, let's dedicate ourselves to living for the Lord. And when he gives us an opportunity, let's speak up for him. And it's not about us, it's about speaking up for Jesus. Speaking up for God. And letting God work through people's lives because you were willing to give voice and a testimony there to what God is doing in your life. Are you understanding the Lord's will? That is, being filled with his Spirit? Remember, let's not go the worldly way in excess and riotous living. That's what it talks about. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. We see that happen around us all the time. That's not the direction, folks. Being filled with the Spirit is not the same as being filled with spirits. This is being filled with the Holy Spirit, God's presence that changes us and helps us to live for him and brings glory to his name, because we are speaking about what God is doing. It's not what we're doing, what God is doing in and through us and our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've seen a lot of snow here in the last few days. You know what passage always comes to mind when I see a lot of snow? There's a passage in the Old Testament. It always reminds me, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Jesus went to the cross, folks. There he died on the cross, gave his life in our place, paid the price for our sins. Though our sins be as scarlet, red like blood, they shall be as white as snow. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. We can be cleaned, cleansed, made whole, made perfect in God's presence. Just as beautiful and as white as the snow is outside. All of the ugly things that we've said, done, thought, all the actions that have not brought honor and glory to God, those things can all be forgiven. And we can be made as white as snow through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you have never named Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to offer you that opportunity, because it's the only way your sins can be forgiven. I can't forgive them. None of the elders can forgive them. Nobody here in the church can forgive them. Only God can forgive them. And that's when a person gives their life to Christ and says, I've made a mess of it. I haven't done the things that I should have done. I haven't lived as I should have lived. God, you need to change me. You need to make me new. And that can happen, folks. It's happened to all of us who are in Christ. We know it's happened because we're not the people we once were. But God is still at work in us, and He can work in you through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning and need to make that decision, our hymn of decision is I Am Thine, O Lord, hymn number 358. Come, give your life to Christ as we stand and as we sing.